now. The time we were in Indonesia took us on for support before that, and we thank you so much for that. I want to say thank you. And again, the Burden family, wife Selah, our son Benea, our oldest, and Charity, Titus, Nathaniel, Lydia, and Miriam. And as you saw in the video, if you could hear it, Lydia and Miriam were born there in Indonesia. And we have some prayer cards. We'd like for you to get one of those back there off our table and talk to us after the service. Come by there and look what we got on our table. Get your prayer card and pray for us. We'd appreciate that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And while you're turning to that, I'll read one verse here to go with the presentation out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. So Romans chapter 10, please turn there. 2 Corinthians 1:8 says, For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch we despaired even of life. You know, Asia is a hard place. There are many hard places, as Pastor just mentioned. Many countries in Asia are closed, and Middle East too. Some very hard places there. That whole region of the world, that's why they call it the 1040 window, and the unreached people groups that are there. And a lot of trouble out of Asia, and you've got to experience some of that these last couple years, what came out of Asia with this virus. But thank you for supporting us, and you got to see some pictures about some of what we've been doing. Been printing gospel tracts. We have some examples of those on our table. We were able to print close to 100,000 gospel tracts and to distribute those and put those in the Christian bookstore where they could be taken and redistributed throughout the country. And we thank you for having a part with that. And I'll tell a little bit more as I'm preaching here. Romans chapter 10, verse 20 and 21 is what will be our main text here. Romans chapter 10, verse 20 and verse 21. Romans chapter 10, verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And so what we're going to look at this morning is these two different groups of people. One is talking about the Gentiles in verse 20, where he says they were people that were not seeking after God. Notice how he says, I was found of them that sought me not. And the context is Jews and Gentiles. We'll look at that a little bit more here this morning. And he said there were some people, these Gentiles, he said they were not seeking after God. They were not seeking the truth. And then you have Israel, which is the second group of people in verse 21. And they had the word of God. They had the fathers and the promises and those kind of things. And well, it was a great Sunday school lesson, I thought. If you missed out on that, you need to come to Sunday school. You'll learn some geography. You'll learn some world history to do with the Bible and all. And talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and different groups in the Middle East specifically. And as a blessing. And so you see in these two verses, these two different groups, the people that were not seeking after God, the Gentiles. And then the people that had the promises and had the heritage and then inheritance and the word of God, the Jews, in verse 21. But they were resistant against that. They were rebellious to that, is what the verse says. Disobedient and gainsaying people. And those two groups of people, and God was stretching forth his hand to them with the truth, is what he's saying. We want to look at that here this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us get started off. Lord, we're thankful to be here at Fellowship Baptist Church this morning. A blessing to see the people here and the kids out in the junior church and all that. Lord, please help them this morning in their lesson. Please help us in here this morning. Lord, each of us, we don't want to just come for the sake of coming, but Lord, we want some help, and we need help in our hearts, each of us, those of us that have been here a long time, or those of us that have just came, or however it may be. Lord, each of us, we have needs in our heart. And Lord, we need help every time we open the Word of God, every time we get a chance to hear some preaching. Lord, we sure ask that you'd help us and help me too, and encourage our hearts of what you'd have us to do. And we thank you, Lord, and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so these two different groups of people, he says they were in verse 20, I was found of them that sought me not. So there's some people that were not seeking after God, but they found that. They got in on the blessings of the gospel. They heard that. And interpretation of it, though, he say they heard the gospel and some of them got saved. They just found them that sought him not, is what he says. And in verse 21, it's the Jews. I've already said that. He said, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So if they're disobedient, like I already said, they had the promises. They had the heritage. They had the word of God. and they had that history, and it had been passed down, and they still had it at this time, but they were resistant against that, and they were disobedient. That means they were disobeying something that God had given them, and they were given all this truth and all these opportunities, and they were doing nothing with it. They were rejecting that and being disobedient, but God said he had his hand stretched forth to those people. And we want to look at this here in this context, I said, is the Jews and the Gentiles here. And chapter 9, 10, 11 is dealing with that. And let's look at that for just a minute. And some very common verses that you probably know. Most of you could probably quote these verses. Look in verse 9, Romans 10, verse 9. He says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." I bet that verse is in a lot of your gospel tracts out there, because it's very clear about we understand the gospel, and in our heart we receive that and we believe that, and we understand that Christ has died for our sins, and that he had to die for our sins because we deserve to die for those, and we deserve to go to hell for all eternity because we're an offender. We have offended God, we have broke his laws, and we have trespassed against his commandments, and therefore we are sinners. Amen. And deserve hell, and we understand that in our heart. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Now look in verse 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so, very clear verses, right? So we use those all the time. He's talking about this. And verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Notice the word whosoever. Now that means a lot to each of us, doesn't it? It means it applies to every individual of us, that this verse is for us. And as he's dealing with it, you know, in the context, that's exactly what he means, whosoever. Because the deal with the Jews and the Gentiles and the chosen ones of God and so forth. And it's whosoever. It doesn't matter what country you're from, what language you speak, or what your class or social class or what's going on now. If you've had the shot or you hadn't, it's for whosoever, you know. Yeah. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, he's explaining that. Remember the context, Jews and Gentiles, and when we get whosoever there, yeah, it's talking about each individual of us, whether it be a Jew, whether it be a Gentile, whether it be an Ethiopian, an Indonesian. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It's the same Lord over all. And verse 13, this again, very good, clear verse about salvation. This one is in most gospel tracts also, for good reason. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Now, as I already said, we understand the gospel that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures, just like the Bible prophesied that he would. And all that took place because we deserve to go to hell, and he took our punishment, and he did that for us, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a blessing that the promise of that verse is. That verse made a difference in my life. As I grew up in a Christian home, and some of you may know my testimony before, from when I gave my testimony when we were here to present our work for support. And obviously, I must believe I was saved because it took us on, so sometimes I don't get time to give all my testimony. But I got saved from a Christian home. But you know what? I had to understand that I was just as lost as someone who came from a non-Christian home, someone that was in a Muslim home, or somebody that was a dope addict and a drunk. And those kind of, I was still a sinner and still deserved to go to hell. And, you know, as we talk with people, as you talk with people, you know, that's what you want them to understand. Because if they know that they're a sinner and there's nothing we can do, no good works we can do to merit God's favor or to earn his mercy or earn his grace or any of that kind of stuff, that we deserve to go to hell, then it's easy to understand the gospel that Christ stepped in and took our place, and he took my punishment. And the wrath of God was abiding on us, except for Christ. He stepped in and took that wrath of God. And when he was punished, he was beat. He had his beard plucked out for our sins. And so that when we understand that and in our heart, and he's already explained that in this context, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice, and interesting with the Sunday school lesson too, later Israel will call upon the Lord. And this same verse, I believe it comes from Joel, and the prophecy about Israel, and they'll call upon the Lord. for salvation there at the end of the tribulation. We won't go all into that this morning. But whosoever shall call. We understand that we're a sinner. We understand the gospel when we call upon him for salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But why is there no other salvation? We've already discussed that. And I said, because you can't do enough good to earn God's favor. And many people today, religious people, that what they're trying to do is do the best they can and earn grace, earn mercy. I talked to people the other day. I ask people this a lot of times. I say, well, what do you have to do to go to heaven after you die? What do you have to do now so that when you die that you can go to heaven? And, you know, Christian people, I'm so thankful to be a Christian. And we set the song, the choir song, I'm so proud to be called a Christian. You know, the Muslims in the past, not so much today, but in the past they were called Mohammedans because they were followers of Muhammad. And that's where that, and the word Christian, because we're followers of Christ. And we're glad to be called Christians. And I asked, you know, as I'm talking to Christian people, and I said, well, what do you have to do to go to heaven? And they'll say, well, you got to be good. You got to keep the commands. And, you know, Christian people, normally when I ask them that, I was already discussing that Christ died for our sins. Through his blood and his substitution, he died for my sins. He took my place. I could receive him and be pardoned, be forgiven for my sins. And that's the way I can get into heaven. After we've already talked about that normally, I say, well, what do you, if you had to tell it, you know, what do you have to do right now in order to go to heaven? Then they'll say, after discussing Christ, they say, well, you got to be good. You got to go to church. You got to pray a lot. Now, people in Indonesia, people in America, it's normally about those three things. And they say, you got to be good, of course, and got to be, and good can be many things. I asked a guy the other day, I said, well, how good do you have to be? Because you could tell, if you talk to people like that, and you say, well, what do you got to do? Well, you got to pray a lot. You got to go to church. You got to be diligent, you know, and you got to be good. I said, well, how good do you have to be? You know, as they're going, they usually can't, they don't know when their list is finished. This is the and. And because if they never feel like they've achieved. And in your Christian life, I'm sure you don't feel like you're the place God wants you to be. But thankfully, hey, we know we're secure in Christ. And we've received that pardon. And we have peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. There's no condemnation. We have peace with God is what Romans chapter 5. I believe it says condemnation there. No condemnation too. But we have that peace with God through Jesus Christ. God wants us to go on in our Christian life. But we have that peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But people that are trying to achieve their salvation, earn their salvation, earn grace, as they say, which grace cannot be earned. That's why it's called grace. It's a gift. It's something we don't deserve. So is mercy. But they never finish with their list because they know they're not the place they need to be. And they have a conscience that's telling them that. And so they could see what Christ did for them. But they try to mix the grace and works together, and it can never be mixed. And as they're saying that, I said, well, how good do you got to be? He said, well, you can't just go around here killing people. You know, I said, well, most people are like that. Most people I meet, you rarely meet somebody just going around killing people, as he said. You know, because you don't know how good you'd have to be. Because as a matter of fact, you'd have to be perfect. And they hadn't been perfect, and you hadn't either. And they deserve hell. And that's why we all deserve hell. That's how we can understand this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as you're explaining that to people, often the question comes up is, like I already quoted Acts 4:12, only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. And we know that, and you know that, I'm sure. If you don't, you need to know it right now. And as you explain that to people, often they say, well, if that's the case, what about those that have not had this opportunity to hear this conversation? What about those that have never heard about Christ? And I think Pastor just mentioned it. People in Indonesia, people in other countries, even people in America, they've never heard a gospel presentation. Some of them, they haven't. And some of them know the name of Christ. Some of them, many of them do not. They say like maybe a third of the world's population doesn't even recognize the name of Christ. And a sad situation. But as you're dealing with somebody about the only way into heaven is Jesus Christ, he said he's the door. He said he's the way. And they say, well, if that's the case, what about those people that have never heard? and that becomes their defense of their own system of salvation that they think that they'll just kind of do the best they can and hope that God is some squishy Santa Claus that'll just look down in favor on them. And that's the idea they want to have. That's the idea that people, because man in his old nature is religious, because it's so much more in accordance with the flesh to just say, well, I can do something. I can do the best I can. I'm trying. You can't say I'm not a good person, and God will have to receive that is the attitude they take, and total ignoring the righteousness and the holiness of God, which their conscience tells them they do not have. And the fact of it is, Romans chapter 3, verse 9, let's look at that. We're trying to lay a foundation for a point I want to make from these two different groups of people. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. He says, what then? Are we better than they? Now, discussion of Jews and Gentiles also in this context. The Jews that had the heritage and the Gentiles that did not. The Gentiles were the people that were not a people. They were a foolish nation. They were the idol worshipers. That's our forefathers, by the way. That's our ancestors. He says, what are we better than they? No, in no wise. We are before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. He said, this matter of the sin, and it didn't matter if it's a Jew or a Gentile, the idol worshipers or the religious people, he said, they're all under sin. And those that had the word of God, the Jews that had it in their language, they had it. And the ones that didn't have it, and the ones that were far away, and they were all under sin. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And he explains that we're all, every person is responsible before God for their sin, whether or not they've had a gospel track or not. And we hope they have. That's what we're going to get to this point. Romans chapter 1, let's look at that really briefly here in verse 18. Romans chapter 1, we're talking about that the only way into heaven is Jesus Christ. But there's many people that don't know about that yet. Look right here, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. All right, so whether or not they have a Bible will help them. We'll see that. But the wrath of God, it says, is revealed from heaven. And so there's creation is showing us some things about God. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has revealed some things about himself and in his creation that will show us that we are not like God and that we need his help and to drive us to that law, even the law written in our heart from chapter 2 and that conscience. Look in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See what he said right there? It didn't matter who they were. Like he said in chapter 3, verse 9, he said, we before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. That's what he's proving right here in chapter 1. And he's proven that everyone is under sin and that they do have the law in their conscience even, and it's going to make them without excuse, so that they're without excuse. They'll stand before God guilty. And they have that responsibility for their sin. You say, that sounds unmerciful for God to send those people to hell. Well, he's explaining about that. He said, without excuse. That means they have been given that opportunity. And you say, well, many people have not heard that. And that is what people present in order to, in their mind, to overthrow the teaching that Christ is the door and he's the only way into heaven. And that they'll present, well, what about those other people? What about the heathen in the jungle that have never heard? Well, God's telling you about that. They're without excuse. And as people say, well, that doesn't sound righteous for God to do. That don't sound just for God to do that. But look in verse 21. He says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now, you say, well, they didn't have a Bible, many people. They don't have a gospel tract. And they don't have these things. Well, they do have the Spirit of God to convict them. They have a conscience. They see creation. And you'll see here through this, Romans chapter 1, other places in the Bible also, this principle, that if they will receive that truth and respond to that truth that they have, though little it may be, that God will get them some more truth. And there's numerous examples of that in the Word of God, that God will do that. And that's where we talk about those that are seeking after God. And I know Romans chapter 3 says there's none that seeks after God. Well, John chapter 1, he says, we love him because he first loved us. And we understand that God, way before we're even born, he's already died for our sins. He's already been setting up salvation for us. He's already been seeking us. And as we see that God in creation in our conscience and that Spirit of God that convict our hearts, we respond to that, then God will send us the truth. God will direct us to more light. And God will help those that are seeking after that. Now, the problem is, oftentimes, because of man's sinful nature, he doesn't seek the truth. He starts to seek it, and then he's blinded by the devil. And the devil's got religion out there. And it's doing a good job of blinding people's minds against the truth. And that's a sad situation, so that they're not any longer seeking after the truth. We'll bring that point again here in a minute. But that we met some people in Indonesia like that. They were wanting to know about salvation. And you know about those people? As you go out, and if you go out and knock on doors sometimes, I know you're praying, we are too. And as you go to the mission field, as you send missionaries out, you're thinking, I hope there's somebody there that's wanting to receive the truth and that God has convicted their hearts. Maybe somebody, as you go out in the community, you're hoping there's somebody like that. And that's good and all. And God does call us to places like that. He knows where those people are. And like I said, we met some people, Brother Dino, you saw the picture of him. He grew up in a Christian home, but in his church, they didn't teach about salvation. They didn't teach about being born again. They talked about work salvation and so forth. And you got to be good. But he thought that in the Bible, we would get the truth. He didn't find that in his church. He thought, well, in a theological seminary, he could learn something about the Bible. His older brother went to theological seminary and was going to graduate. And he told his little brother, Dino, in our presentation there, he said, if you're looking for something deeper and something real, he said, it don't exist. He said, don't look for it. He said, the pure Bible doesn't not exist today. It's already been changed. And as a young man that was looking for the truth, that pretty much crushed him. And he was confused about that. How could we be Christians and God's let our book be destroyed and taken away and tampered with? And at that time, he said, he thought, why even be a Christian anyways? Might as well be a Muslim. They say their book's not been changed, which is debatable, but nonetheless, that's what they say. And so he felt that at that time. He ended up working at the Christian bookstore. He thought he could do ministry and he could get paid and work at the same time. And as he's selling whiskey and wafers and idols and things there that the Christian bookstore is full of, and didn't seem like any truth there, he left him empty again. And we came in there and set some gospel tracks up there, and I asked him about, well, how do you get to heaven anyways? And so he said about the same thing. Well, you got to be good, and you got to be diligent, and so forth. He started coming to a Bible study at our house, and wasn't long, and he heard we were teaching English too, so we had something about creation, and then it come up about Bible versions there, and he saw that, and he said, "What about that?" And he asked about that. And I said, yeah, there's basically the simple version is there's a corrupted so-called Bible and a corrupted text. And then there's our pure King James Bible and the text behind that. He's like, wow, that's interesting. And he when he saw that, it answered the question in his mind of that they had told him that the God's word does not exist today. It's been changed. It's been tempered with, and you can't trust it. He understood why they would say that and that he can trust the Bible. So he kept coming. And then he could understand then that we can know that we have our sins forgiven. We can know what God said about salvation. And he just understood it because he was looking for that. And pray for him. He's got a lot of issues going on in his life right now. But he was, because he was seeking for that truth, I don't feel like we worked very hard for Brother Dino. We were just there. We went put the gospel tracks in there on the track rack for free, and he started coming. And he came, and he moved to the other island with us and so forth. And then when we got there, you saw Mr. Yahya, which was in the presentation. And he was one of those, too. We came there to Kali Mantan and was looking for a building. Went down through there, found these storefront buildings. I called this guy, and he heard it's a foreigner on there. My accent in Indonesian have a little bit, too. And so he said, I think it's a foreigner. He said, where are you from? And I told him, and he come out there. He said, I'll come over and talk to you. He came over and talked to us, and he's kind of hoping it was missionaries. And he was from a Christian so-called Christian church too, charismatic, a lot of charismatics in Indonesia and a lot of Protestants. Anyways, he came over there, and I told him what we wanted to do with the building. We wanted to rent it for a church. He said, oh, that'd be great. He said, this Muslim people right here next door. And it was. It's a Muslim community except for the man like right across the road. And really Muslim community there. He said, that'd be great, great testimony in this community. And so he started coming. He didn't know who we were, what we believed, but he started coming, and he saw we'd open the Bible and teach from that, and he found out. And he told me later, he said, we came looking for salvation. Because in his church, they talk about prosperity, they talk about everything. They'll mention the gospel, they'll mention Christ, but they don't mention about being born again, that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He came looking for that, and it wasn't any trouble. He's in our Bible study now, online. He's always in there, I think he missed about one time because he had something else with his mom, take her to the hospital or something. He's faithful to that, and we didn't work that hard to keep him. We worked to teach and those kind of things, and because he's seeking after the truth. Hey, God knows where those, and God helps us. Hey, it's a blessing when you meet those people. Man. They're a blessing to us. But let's get to this point right here in our last couple minutes. Turn back over to chapter 10 and verse 20 and 21. We talked about those that would seek after the truth, and God would help them. God will help us get to those people. What a blessing that is. That is a great blessing. But notice the two groups of people in the last two verses, Romans chapter 10, is not people like Mr. Yahya and Brother Dino. They're not those people that were seeking after the truth. Notice what he said in verse 20. He says, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, thou hast found of them that sought me not. He said there's some people, and the whole context here is the Jews and the Gentiles. Notice verse 19 so you get this point. He said, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. By a foolish nation I will anger you. He's talking about the Jews. He's going to anger them with the Gentiles getting the gospel, getting the truth to them. Notice in verse, let's see what verse I want here. Hold on just a second. Yeah, verse 18, just the last part. It says, their sound went into all the earth. Hey, the gospel, the goal of the gospel is still into all the earth. And he said it went into all the earth, their words unto the ends of the world. And notice the reason he was doing that is he's going to provoke the Jews to anger by this. And notice but what's interesting to me about these people is he said they weren't seeking the truth. They're not the people like Brother Dino, and they're not the people like Mr. Yahya. But nonetheless, God got the truth to them. Like Isaiah, he said, I was found of them. And before that, Isaiah, when he was preaching, which is the prophet Isaiah, you know that, just coming from different language there. And he was preaching among the Jews, and he said, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's in verse 21, the disobedient and the gainsaying people. But as it went to the Gentiles, and in prophecy, he said, I was manifest unto them to ask not after me. Hey, God cares about the people that are not seeking after the truth. We live among Muslim people there in Indonesia. And most of them, hey, they're not looking for the truth. They're not. And that is a problem. And we are burdened for them people. And you work with people like that. It's your neighbors and your family and the people in the community. And if they were seeking the truth, they'd probably already be here. They probably would be. Or God will help you get to them. God will help them get to the truth. But many people, they're not looking for the truth. And hey, remember, that was our ancestors here in verse 20. They were idol worshipers. They're the heathen. And God got the gospel to them, and thankfully somebody preached the gospel to us, and we got saved. And what a blessing that is. And as we think about that, so you notice as the work of getting the gospel out is normally not is those people that are seeking, hey, they end up in church, and what a great blessing that is. And God helps us with that, and that's a lot of missions too. But a lot of the work, I mentioned we printed about 100,000 gospel tracts, and you saw a few people there. Bible study, we usually have three, sometimes up to six people in our online Bible study. And you say, that's not many for 100,000 gospel tracts. Because we care about those people that are not seeking after the truth. Let's close with this right here. One more thought to do with this. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. All right, so we talked about those who would seek after the gospel, God will get the truth to them. God helps them. And we can say God obligates himself to them to help them with the truth. The problem is many people are not seeking the truth. They're like the Gentiles he talks about in verse 20 that are not seeking after truth. And they're like the Jews that had the truth, but they didn't want it. And that's many people around you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul. Because we don't believe just whatever will be, you know, the Calvinistic view. But sometimes I'm afraid we look at missions a bit that way. Well, if they want it, they'll get in on it. No, we got to care for those people. We got to care. That's why you send missionaries around the world. Look in verse 15 here. He says, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Now, I'm reading this verse because notice the language the Apostle Paul uses here. As you know, the Apostle Paul, the missionary, goes to these different places. He preaches and establishes churches, just like what we try to do as missionaries and the other missionaries you support. And he said, "I've begotten you through the gospel." And he uses the situation of a father and a son as him bringing the gospel to them. And just like in over in Romans chapter 10, we had a people that are no people. He said, "A foolish nation, I will anger you." Among the Gentiles, among our ancestors, they got there and preached the gospel, and it made a difference in people's lives. Now, Jesus, he's the one that does the saving, but the Apostle Paul knew that because he brought the gospel there, the Lord had sent him there, and he preached it to it, it made a difference in some people's lives. And he cared about it. It made a difference in some people's lives that would not have got saved otherwise. And as Pastor said, got saved from a gospel tract. That's why you have the gospel tracts. That's why we print those gospel tracts. Hey, because like I said, people should seek after the truth, but they're not many times. Their minds have been blinded through religion and other things, and they're not caring for their own soul. And we have to make up that for them. We have to care for their soul where they don't. And I want to challenge you this morning, this thought. He said, "I've begotten you through the gospel." And I want to think about each of us individually have a burden for those. Have we did that for anybody? Can we help people out in that way? Remembering that what we say to them as we present the gospel, it can very well make a difference. Because Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing." Hearing by the word of God. It can wake up and put some life into that dead conscience and that soul that is not caring for their own, they don't care for their own soul many times. And with so many people, it's religious people. The Muslims, they're everywhere. And they're hard people, aren't they? If you've talked with them, you know that they're sinners too. And they need to be saved. And there's the same way of salvation for them as it was for us. He said, "I was found of them that sought me not." I hope that each of us that will make a difference in somebody else's life. That there'll be somebody in heaven that was not going to be otherwise. But we have that chance to make a difference in their life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we're grateful we got in on this salvation. Lord, that you are not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that included me, and it includes people around me and people in other countries too. And Lord, people that are hard and people that don't even want the gospel, it includes them too. Lord, please help us with that. Each of us, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand for prayer this morning. Brother Doug's coming. Miss Susan's coming. And I know one thing this morning. God's looking for you whether you're looking for him or not. That morning I got saved, December 15th, 1979, I wasn't looking for Jesus. But Jesus was looking for me. And all Brother Charlie did was give me that gospel track, "How to Get to Heaven from Your House." And I thought, my soul, I didn't come thinking about that. But I thought, I would sure like to go to heaven. And I asked Christ to be my Savior. And God changed my life forever. You know why? Because God was looking for me. Can I tell you, God's looking for every one of us. He's looking for people to believe on him. He's looking for people to walk with him and to serve him and to give their life to him. That means God's looking for you, every one of you. You may not be looking for him, but he's looking for you. I rejoice in those who are looking for him. We pray for those who are not. Let God work in your life this morning. Let him work. As we pray, you need to come forward and do something, do it. You need to be saved, come forward and be saved. You need something else to do, you come forward and do it on the first verse. I'm going to pray, bow your head, close your eyes. Brother Doug's going to sing. You need to do something this morning, you step out and do it. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And God, you're so loving, you're so good, and you're so kind.
And God, no one ever cared for our soul but you. And God, you loved us enough to give your life and to come to this sin-cursed world to take our place on that old rugged cross, and you did. And Lord, for those who have no idea what you've done, Lord, that they might come to the saving knowledge. Lord, but we can't say that this morning because the plan of salvation was very clear. And God, it's not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to your mercy you saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, if there's one that needs to be saved this morning, may they come and be saved. Lord, for the child of God that you're speaking to, may they come and make things right. And Lord God, for those who need to make decisions, that you'd help them to make them at this very moment. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Head bowed, eyes closed. Brother Doug, singing.